And if you have your Bible, and would turn to the book of 1 Corinthians 15:19. This morning, I just want to encourage you. That's all this morning is about, is just a word of encouragement. And as we learned Thursday night during our Bible study, as we are continuing, and we're actually on the winding down portion of Secrets of the Secret Place, my wife talked about going for the gold, or go for the gold. And as we learned Thursday night, that basically means to strive for the best or to reach for the best. And so before I even start, we read anything, my title is very simply this morning, Go for the Gold. Go for the gold. And I would say that as long as the Lord will allow me to pastor, you will probably annually at least hear a message about heaven. You're just going to, because as we're going to learn today, it is the best thing that we have just hanging out and waiting in front of us. And so this morning, I really do just want to encourage us. So our opening verse, we find Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He's finishing up his first letter, and he says this, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." I promise this is going to be an encouraging message. It's going to start, though, with us talking about misery and being miserable. Father, we love you. We thank you for today, for your presence and for your love. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us. Help us to leave this place encouraged in the knowledge that you will share with us this morning, and we ask it in your precious name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated. So we find Paul, he's finishing up this first letter to the church in Corinth, and we find that he is speaking here. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men or people most miserable. You see, Paul understood what it was like to live a life of trouble, turmoil, grief, pain, suffering, persecution. He knew that life can be difficult. Can I get an amen? Amen. Life at times can be a struggle. And so he says here that if in this life, our hope in our life with Jesus, if it's only about the here and now, then we are of all the people on the earth, we are the most miserable of people. But why would we be the most miserable of people if we're trying to become like the Lord, if we're striving to be better, and we know that he's changing us to be better people? Why would we be miserable? Because if all we have to focus on is being a better person here, if all I'm trying to do is just be a little bit more likable and have right morals and all the right stuff, and it's all about this right now, well, then I'm going to be miserable. Because the rest of the people are doing whatever they want. And here I am trying to keep myself in the guardrails of what God wants. But I love the fact that he says this. He's like, if it's all about now, if all we focus on is now, you will be miserable. You see, Paul, he knew what it was like to live, again, a life of misery. He knew that sometimes life would get rough. Of all men, Paul knew it. Immediately upon being converted and on the road to Damascus, the Lord reaching for him and saving him, we find later in the book of Acts chapter 9, right after he's saved, we find that the Jews plot to kill him. And it's so bad he can't get out of the city that he has to have people lower him down in a basket outside the wall so he can escape. Later in the book of Acts, chapter 13, we find again there's jealousy. There are people who are contradicting the message that he's preaching. And we find that he has to be expelled from the city of Antioch. And all he's trying to do is tell them about the Savior, Jesus, who wants to save their soul. In chapter 14, we find that he is threatened with stoning while he's in Iconium. Later in that same chapter, they didn't just threaten him in Lystra. They didn't have listeria. Dear Father in heaven, we pray that they didn't have listeria. But we find that they stoned him, and they thought they had done such a good job, they left him for dead. In chapter 16, we find that he's beaten with rods when he's imprisoned in Philippi. In chapter 17, he's driven out of Thessalonica by a mob. Later in the chapter, he's in Berea, and the Jews that threw him out over got him taken out of Thessalonica. They do the same thing to him. So he's running from city to city. In chapter 18, he's brought before the judgment seat of Gallio because he was called an inciter of riotous opposition to Rome. In chapter 21, he was seized, beaten, and arrested in Jerusalem, which started a period of trial for him. Later in Acts 27, while he's on his way to Rome to stand before Caesar, he is shipwrecked and lands on the Isle of Malta. And then in the very next chapter, the final chapter of the book of Acts, in chapter 28, we find that he's rescued from the sea only to be bitten by a viper, a serpent that was very poisonous. Everybody's expecting him to die in that moment. Now, of course, he didn't, because then he spends the next 2 years living in house arrest that he had to pay for on his own while he is waiting to stand before Caesar. From Acts 9 to Acts 28 is roughly 30 years, and I read to you just a handful of things that he went through that are recorded in those chapters. But we find that in 2 Corinthians, when he wrote his second letter, there were some people who were basically saying Paul wasn't worthy to be an apostle, that he hadn't lived a life deserving being an apostle. And so Paul, in trying to set them straight, that he was all sold out to this, he gives a list of all of the struggles and pains and all of those hardships that he went through in life in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. He says, speaking of those who are opposing him, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. And laborers more abundant. In other words, I have done more than them. And stripes above measure. And prison more frequent. And deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes save one. Or he was whipped 39 times, 5 times by the Jews. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. How many of you have rough lives? All right, you're reading this. How many of you are like, my life ain't quite so rough? In verse 26, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathens, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brothers. Everywhere he went, he was in peril. And then in verse 27, he says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all of that, besides that, those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care for all the churches. Paul knew what it was like to have a rough life. Paul knew what it was like to go through seasons and trials where life was not good. He knew what it was like to go through pain and suffering and to have people accuse him and to have people that should have stood by him not stand by him. Now, we read and we talked about Acts 9 through 28. It was roughly 30 years. And when you take all of the things that he lists just in these two, this portion of Scripture combined with what we read in the book of Acts, you can do the math. And over those 30 years, he averaged somewhere around 1.2 pains or sufferings a year. In other words, it was constant. In other words, there was always something in his life that was rubbing up against his happiness or his joy or his hopefulness. You see, again, Paul knew that there are going to be hardships in life. And the fact of the matter is, all of us today need to realize there is no free pass from pain, from hurt, from suffering, from tribulation, from all of the things that happen in the world. As a matter of fact, what I have found is typically in my life, it pretty much every moment of my life, there is something that I could say is bad in my life. Now, there are moments when it is much better. Thank God for those moments. We call those mountaintops. But majority of the time are not, as we've learned, they're not in the mountaintops. And that is what Paul he is expressing, and it's why he says those words in our opening portion that if we only have the hope of what's going on in this life, we would be most miserable. Because it's true. How many of you, sometimes your life is miserable? A couple of you are chuckling, some nice soft nods. But that really is how life is sometimes. But you know what that is? That's life. And it's unfortunate, but it is the result of the fallen world that we live in. And I believe that Paul, probably more than most, he understood the toll that a life like this and going through all of this, the toll that it can take on our faith. And so we find that numerous times in numerous letters to the churches and to individuals, we find that he makes this plea, don't just think about this life. Don't just think about the here and now. Remember, it is about more than what you are experiencing today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, before he wrote our portion we just read, we find this verse. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Again, he reminds the church, he reminds those that he's responsible for leading and growing and maturing into church leaders. He's telling them over and over that you're going to go through trials, you're going to go through pain, there are going to be sufferings, there's going to be broken times in your life, there are going to be days that you just don't want to put one foot in front of another. But we find he tries to get them to keep it in perspective. And so we find here, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What Paul wanted the church to understand, what Paul wanted those he was leading to understand, is in the end, it is worth it. In the end, when you go for the gold, you won't even think twice about what you went through down here. As a matter of fact, in the end, what he's saying here is, what you went through, those pains and sufferings, those trials. All right, now remember all of the stuff that he went through. All of that stuff. I would suffice it to say that if half the room, if we took us all and we wrote down all the things that we went through, we would still have a hard time standing up against the things that Paul went through in his life. How many of you have been hit one time by a rock? It hurts. He was stoned 3 times, and once they thought they had finally done him in. But he says, he looks back on it, and he's like, listen, I think of all of that as a light affliction when I remember in the end, it's going to be worth it. In the end, it's not going to seem like anything compared to what it's going to be like on the other side. In other words, he was saying, go for the gold. Reach for the better. Remember what is just waiting for you on the other side. Really, all of this that we're going through, and this is so hard to, I don't, it makes no sense to me. I don't understand it. But all of this that we experience, you know, those 70 or 80 years that are given to man, it's all about us being over there for eternity. It's really getting us ready for what he is going to do with us on the other side. And really, it's why, again, if it's only about this life, it's miserable. I don't enjoy pain. How many of you have pain in your body? How many of you, for some of them, it's constant pain in your body? I don't enjoy that. And I'm going to tell you something later. There's a great word that he uses to talk about our bodies and the pain that we have. Just hold on. We will get there. And not only will we find out what he says about it, but then he's going to give us some hope about these painful bodies. I hate pain. You ever laid in bed and been like, I'm ready to go to sleep, but man, I hurt. It just will not stop aching. Maybe if I get up and walk around for a little bit, and then it just wakes you up more. And you're like, maybe if I lay down this time, I will fall asleep. And you lay down and it starts hurting again. And then you go grab the bottle of ibuprofen out of the cabinet. And you're like, maybe this will help. Again, I do not like pain, especially when you're trying to sleep. But we find that Paul, again, he's trying to keep their focus on the gold, on what is coming in the end. In Romans 8, when he was writing to the church at Rome, in chapter 8, verse 18, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, in other words, the sufferings that we are in today, that we have experienced, they are not worthy to be compared which with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Folks, I know we live in this thing called time. And it's in time that we experience pain, tribulation, suffering, persecutions. We face difficulties at work, difficulties in relationships, difficulties in just about every aspect at some point of our lives. But here he is. He says, they aren't even worthy to be compared to when we get to glory. Again, it's why he's saying, go for the gold. Remember the prize of our high calling. We find it over and over in his writing. Paul is trying to encourage people. Don't focus on just what's going on in your life today. You can't just focus on what's going on in your life today, or you will be, of all men, most miserable. He's like, you've got to remember that when you get there, it's going to be worth it all. When you get there, what you're experiencing right now, it's going to seem like nothing. It'll just be a light affliction. Again, you've got to remember it's about more than just today. You see, it's natural to get bogged down in the pain of life and forget what we will have on the other side. it's so easy to forget what we will have then because of what we are experiencing in the now. But you can't let the now cause you to forget what it's going to be like then. Because right now, it's like you're walking on streets of coal. But then it's going to be like you're walking on streets of gold. Because what you're experiencing right now, it's a light affliction when you get there. It's going to be in my brain, it's going to be like it never happened. It's going to be so light. You're like, yeah, I remember when. Yeah, that's right. I got my arm caught in the conveyor at work and it ripped half my fingers off. But that was nothing. Look where I am now. It's a light affliction. You see, I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you. I kind of can't wait. Now, I'm not like wanting to get there today. Have some things I want to do. But I can't wait for this to just seem like a light affliction. In 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 4, we're not going to read it, but it says, Paul said, set your mind on the things above, because there is a day coming when we will be with him. That is the thing that I'm really looking forward to. And, you know, we sing these songs and we talk about his presence. And I'm telling you, there is coming a day, folks, when we get to see him for eternity, for the rest, well, I'm going to say the rest of our lives, but for eternity. You'll see him face to face. I can't help but when I hear those words, what a day that will be, right? And there's a song. How many of you, when I said, what a day that will be, you immediately said, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me and leads me through, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. Don't you just feel better even singing about it or thinking through those words? It causes that the heaviness of what we're going through life when we get our mind on the things that are going to come when we get to heaven, it causes them to take a much less prominent position in our minds and in our hearts. Remember this. This life compared to eternity is like a grain of sand on the ocean floor. I made that up. I was pretty proud of that. I had to write it down so I didn't forget to say it. But seriously, I mean, you can't count the number of grains of sand on the ocean floor. All that you're going through is like one little piece of grain in the bottom of the ocean. It's a light affliction, folks. Don't let the enemy keep your focus off of the prize. Don't let him stir your mind to just be focused on the things that I'm dealing with today to the point that you can't remember. I'm reaching for the gold. There is coming a day when this is going to seem like nothing more than just a light affliction. You see, and why am I using, we're going for the gold? Well, in Revelations 21, I can't wait to get there. In 21 and 18, it says, and the building of the wall, talking about the city, the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, likened unto clear glass. Clear gold. It's like, I don't even know what, has anybody ever seen clear gold? It must be pretty special because gold looks pretty good to me. And it's got those impurities, but man, it's pretty pretty. But I can't imagine what it's going to look like when we get to heaven and see this city that is made of gold. In verse 21, it says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the streets of the city were pure gold, as if it were transparent glass. You see, I want to go for the gold. I want to reach for the gold because it is the best thing that's going to ever happen to me. As good as I've had some good stuff happen in my life, I, number one, received the gift of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. I get to experience a relationship with Jesus. I got to meet my wonderful wife. I got to have wonderful children. I have a great family, have wonderful friends. I have all of you. I mean, you're my friends too. But the best thing that's ever going to happen to me is when I go and I stand before Him, when we're in His presence. I want to go for the gold. I want to see the streets of gold. I want to see the city of gold. But even more than that, in Revelations 1 and 13, it says that Jesus is wrapped in gold clothing. He's who I'm looking forward to seeing. The city's going to be great. The streets are going to be great. These whole pearl gate things made out of one pearl, I'm kind of interested in seeing that. Just saying, I think it's going to be pretty neat. But there's nothing going to be compared to when we go before Him and we see Him in all of His majesty and all of this. You know how you feel? You know, we get the earnest of our inheritance. We worship Him. The presence of God moves in the room. And we get this sensation of the presence of God with us. You know the song, I Can Only Imagine? I don't think we can even imagine what it will be like. It's going to be incredible, folks. Again, it's why this is going to seem like nothing more than a light affliction for us. But, you know, we're kind of focused on the misery part right now. Remember, let's not get too excited about the thing, you know, because we're all miserable in life today. Here's what I understand that he says in chapter 21 about the things that make us miserable. In verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. Again, He is going to be with us in heaven, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. We get to be with Him. In verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more, and there's that word again, pain, for the former things are passed away. All of the stuff that make you miserable, it's just gone. No longer does it exist. One of the things that I think is going to be the greatest about this is all those memories that bring you pain in your life, they're gone. There will not be sorrow. No more crying. You see, to go for the gold, it means to shoot for the best. This is the best life, folks. A life with Him without misery, pain, trouble, suffering. This is what I'm reaching for. And He offers it to us. And Paul was saying, remember this. Don't focus on where you're at today. Remember to go for the gold. So how is this all possible? I mean, we know we're going to get to be with Him, but especially how is all of this other stuff possible? The no more pain thing, the misery, all of that. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says these words. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ha, here it is. Remember earlier I was saying what He calls these bodies? Who shall change our vile? Your body is vile, folks. How many of you feel like your body is vile? who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Oh, I'm so excited. It makes me want to sing another song. I just can't hide it. I'm going to keep control. But I don't think when I get over there, I am. We lose these vile bodies that we live in. These sin-tainted bodies that we suffer through things because of the sin in the world. And there's coming a day when we get rid of them. And everybody said, thank you, Jesus. No more pain, no more suffering, no more crying over there. Oh my. He said in both letters to the Corinthian church that we get rid of these corruptible mud balls. He said, we're going to get rid of this corruption. We're going to exchange this corruptible, this stuff that was messed up because of sin. We get to get rid of it for something that is incorruptible. You know what incorruptible means? It means you can lay down in bed at night and go right to sleep because there ain't no pain in your back or in your legs or in your head or in your shoulder. It means you don't have to get up and go to the ibuprofen thing, you know, pop it open and take three so that you can. Listen, incorruption, incorruptible bodies are just waiting for us over there. I'm so excited. And it's what Paul was trying to get them to understand, and it's why he said it so much. He's saying, listen, I've went through a whole bunch of junk. My life has been miserable, but it's nothing. It is just a light affliction because there's coming a day when I get rid of this vile thing, and it's going to be incorruptible, and I get to be with him for eternity. It's why heaven will make this seem like it never happened. No more corruptible bodies, no more corruptible emotions, no more corruptible immune systems, no more corruptible sin. And as we stand, why is there no more corruptible? Because we just read in Revelations 21, 1 through 4, all the stuff that causes the misery is gone. But I'm looking forward to getting rid of this vile, corrupted mud ball. I sincerely, honest to goodness, I am. Maybe he'll make me 6 feet tall. Hey, it's a glorified body, right? I'm going to put my order in right now. You all start putting your orders in. I've got my list. But in the end, most of all, the reason I can't wait to get there is because he is going to be there. Again, Paul said it over and over in the church. Remember, when you get there, all of this goes away. But when you get there, you will get to see him. When he was about ready to die, he wrote a letter to Timothy. He's in prison, and he really is. He knows it's all winding down. He knows that it's about to all wrap up. And so he's writing to Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, he says these words, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know how he kept the faith through all of that? Because he said, this one thing I do, I forget all of the stuff and I reach for the prize. I'm going for the gold. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and here it is, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. Listen, you're not going to stand in line and there's going to be 55 lines and people are in line, it's just somebody handing out their crowns. he's going to hand out a crown to every single person. Yeah. It's one of the reasons that eternity can be so long. He gets to see all of us face to face. And Paul didn't just say, hey, I get to have my crown handed directly to me. And he said, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. You know what that means? That means you too, there's coming a day when you're going to stand before him and he's going to take the crown. And Jesus, the one we sing all of these songs about, the one who is, we're working to change what we care about to match and reflect what he cares about, he's going to come and he's going to have a crown and he's going to give it to Rihanna. He's going to set it in her hands and he's going to look at her and say, I love you and I'm so glad that I get to see you. Imagine that moment. It makes me want to cry just thinking about it. Because in that moment, the light affliction, all of this other stuff, it means nothing when I look him eye to eye and he hands me that crown. There's nothing better, folks. In this life, you cannot let the enemy dictate and determine where your focus will be to the detriment of your faith in going for the gold. All Paul was trying to do was get them to remember. Go for the gold. Remember in the end, it's all worth it. When you're going through those trials, when you're going through those tribulations, when you have sorrow, when you have pain, remember. There's coming a day, and what a day that will be. Do something a little bit different this morning. If you feel like you have a life that is miserable right now, and you feel like maybe the enemy has done a good job of getting your focus off of the gold and onto your situation and circumstances and pain and suffering right now, I'm going to invite you to come. And then what we're going to do is if you feel like whatever it is in your life, that it could be overwhelming, we're all going to gather in around you and we're going to lift you up together. And we are going to ask the Lord to put the gold right in your face and to take the lies of the enemy and push them off to the side so that you can see the prize, the high calling, the goal that he has before us. So this morning, if you feel like life has just, if it feels overwhelming to you right now, I invite you to come. I know this seems, because I know there are people that are dealing with it. And I know this might feel a little awkward or out of place, or you might feel like people are going to look at me. You know what? Everybody has seasons of life like this. You're not weird. You're not odd. It's just you happen to be going through it right now. I guarantee you at some point, every one of you in this room are going to have these seasons. You just are. It's just life. Again, if there's anybody else, I'm going to give you a moment. If you need him, listen, don't miss an opportunity to have your faith increased, to have the enemy's lies pushed to the side, because you're not going to have to stand by your own in going for the gold. Just give you a couple more moments here. All right. So we have a handful of folks up here. What I want everybody, if you're able, I want you to come out of the pew. And if you're out there, that just means right now that going for the gold isn't necessarily hard for you. Well, for these folks, they need some encouragement. They need people to come up and lay hands on them and pray with them. So I want you to stand with them, pray with them, bind the enemy's lies that it isn't worth it, and ask God to let them see how great it's going to be when they get to the other side, when they reach that golden city with the golden throne and our golden God. Amen. Let's just pray for these folks right now.